This is going to be a little bit different message than what I normally preach. It's going to be a teaching message, and at the same time, it's going to be a preaching message. So you've got to take and listen intently, and then you'll kind of be able to figure out the difference between the two. But I think if you listen really, really close today, you're going to get something out of this, because I know I did writing it, and I'll give you a little insight of how I came up with what I did later on. But Genesis chapter 5, we're going to be starting in verse number 21. It says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love. I just pray now that we might get something out of this that we can use in our own lives. And we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, as I was, believe it or not, one night, I woke up, and I don't know what I was dreaming, but I got up and I started looking at something in the Bible. And I found something that was kind of interesting. I'm going to share that with you this morning. But you know, many times we read the Bible and we see people's names and we see what God did for them, but we really don't know the person or how God used them in their lives. And in the scripture that we read, we see a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch lived and was a preacher before the flood. He lived in the times before there were any laws, any morals, which were set up by God. And he lived in a time when there were not many people upon the face of the earth. There was quite a few, but there wasn't as many as we have today. I want to look at some things in Genesis chapter 5 that I think are kind of interesting. Let's go back to the first part of Genesis chapter 5 for just a minute. And I want to show you something of what took place. And I don't know why I woke up that night and I started reading this. And this is what I came up with, and I'll show you in a minute. But in verse 5, it says, "This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had given Seth, were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he had begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Kenium, and Enos lived after he begot Kenium 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot lived after he begot his son 840 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the lives of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Methuselah lived 65 years and begot Jared, and Methuselah lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 160 and 2 years, and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 960 and 2 years, and he died. That's where I want to stop. Because this is what I found was interesting about this whole thing. Those people lived a long time, didn't they? But there's something very interesting about that. Now, if you look at the genealogy there, you'll see that Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. Seth was 105 when Enos was born. Enos was 90 when Cainan was born. Cainan was 90 when Mahalalel was born. And he was 70. And then 65 when Jared was born. Jared was 162 when Enoch was born. And Enoch was 65 when Methuselah was born. Now, if you take all of those numbers, sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But when Enoch was born, let me see if I can find it. Here we go. When Enoch was born, Adam was 752 years old. Now, the Bible says that Adam died at 930 years old. Adam was still living at the time of Enoch. Unbelievable, isn't it? Now, as I was going down through the genealogies here, I went all the way down to Noah, and there was 1,056 years from the time that Adam had Seth until the time that Noah was born. Sounds like a lot of time, doesn't it? But the only two generations that would have been dead at that time would have been Adam and Seth. Everyone else would have been living, according to what the Bible says. Now, the thing that, and as we go through this, I want you to take and think about this, because the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. What happened to everybody else? Enoch was only the seventh generation from God, from Adam, I mean. What happened to everyone else? You know, if you look at the life of his line, you're going to see that he was the seventh generation after Adam. You know, the world had not seen rain yet, and the people did not, they did as they pleased. There were very few who looked to God for their guidance. But Enoch believed in God. He was a righteous man. He preached God's judgment upon the earth to the sinful men, and God took him. You know, there's only two people that God took and that did not die. Who were they? Enoch and Elijah. 2 Kings 2, 10 and 11 says this. And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall be not so." And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. Here we see that Elijah was taken up into heaven without ever dying. Now, what does it mean to be a righteous man before God? Now, as I was doing this, I'm thinking to myself, well, what happened to all these other people? What happened to Enos? What happened to Jared? What happened to all these other people? Why was it they did not find righteousness in God's eyes? After all, they were all of the line of Seth. They were all from Adam and Eve. Now, didn't Adam and Eve tell them what happened in the Garden of Eden? Didn't Adam and Eve tell them that God is a jealous God and if they sinned, God was going to punish them? I don't think they did. I don't think they did. You know, what we need to realize here is that
that generation after generation after generation, we lose things. And one of the things that we lose is our sense of God. We take our eyes off of God from one generation to another. You know, as I studied Enos, I found it real amazing how even in his preaching millennial years of time ago, how important it was that he preached the same thing we do today. In order to see what he did, we need to go to the little book of Jude. Go into the little book of Jude, the last book of the second to last book in the Bible. And that's where we're going to be parked most of the morning. Jude. In fact, if you find Jude, just go to Jude chapter 1. Huh? Oh, that's the only book in Jude? Oh, okay. Yeah, Jude only has one book. The book of Jude. Now, Enoch prophesied or preached to sinners. Look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Now, I have a question for you. How did Jude know what Enoch said all the way back before the flood? Did he live back then? Nope. How did he know that? God told him. God told him. Here we see that Enoch was preaching. He didn't preach to those who believed in God. He didn't preach to the church. There was no established church in those days. God had not even set up the laws of man, and they were living by what they believed was right. But Enoch was a street preacher. Think about it. He didn't have a church to preach in like this one. He went out on the street corner and preached to the people. He was a street preacher. And he was preaching that they needed to turn from their wicked ways and look to the God of creation. Where did he learn that from? Look at his ancestry. After all, Adam and Eve had only been dead for about 100 years before he was born. In fact, I don't think they were even dead yet. Let me look at my genealogy here. No, and when he was born, Adam would have been 622 years old. Adam, especially, was still living. Adam was still living at the time Enoch was born. Now, do you think maybe, just maybe, there's nothing that says this in the Bible, and I can't prove it by the Bible, but do you think that maybe there would have been some way that Adam could have got together with Enoch and said, okay, this is the way it was. This is the way it was. We were in the Garden of Eden. We had a perfect place. We had a perfect living. Everything was just hunky-dory. Until great, 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 great grandmother. Yeah, that's about the way it was. But you know, we need to realize is that it was the woman's fault. Right? Here we see that it could have happened in that he may have sat down with Adam one day and Adam told him everything about God. How that him and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. How they had fellowship with God. Maybe Adam told others about that too, but it went in one ear and right out the other one, just like it does today. You know, what we need to realize is that Enoch, even though he was a street preacher, even though he didn't have a whole lot to preach about, the Bible wasn't written yet, the prophecies weren't written yet, nothing in the Old Testament was written yet, even though none of that was done, he still preached righteousness. Whoa. Man. But you know what? He not only preached on unsaved people, but he also preached to those who were descendants of Adam and Eve. They were the ones who had turned from God and went their own way. But he also preached judgment to all of them. Look at verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Whoa. You know, what we need to realize is this. Here was a street preacher who's preaching to people who are all related, basically. Yeah, let's face it. There's seven generations from Adam. Everybody's related. It's kind of like living in Florence. Everybody's related. Amen? You know, in Hebrews 9:27, it says that it's appointed unto a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, God is a God of love. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But guess what? He's also a God of judgment. Enoch preached judgment. You know, look at that verse again. To execute judgment upon all. Not just some, but judgment upon all. Yet he also is a God of judgment. 2 Peter 2:9 says, And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, God destroyed the whole world during Noah's time, didn't he? Who was saved? Noah? Noah's wife? Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives. Eight. Now, what happened to all of Enoch's relatives? They drowned. If you go through the genealogies all the way down through there and you follow where they are, there was a lot of people that were listed in Genesis chapter 5 that died in the flood. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Listen, God is a God of judgment. Even though He created everything, even though He wanted man to live forever, man messed up, and guess what? God had to judge it. You know, let me ask you something. God's a loving God, right? Why was it He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Huh? What was their wickedness? Well, you know, the thing of it is that basically, believe it or not, that's the way their lifestyle was. And what did God do? God destroyed the whole city. Everybody that was in it, He destroyed with fire and brimstone because of their sexual lifestyle. Now, what happened to the children of Benjamin? No, that's Wednesday night. What happened to the children of Benjamin? Do you remember the concubine from the the Levite, and he gave her to them so that they didn't take him. And they had mastery of her all night and killed her. And he opened up the door, and there she was laying on the front steps. And he cut her into 12 pieces and sent each piece to the different tribes of Israel. What do you want? Huh? The other 11 went against him. Destroyed all of them except how many? 250. There were 250 men that escaped and went up into the mountains and hid out. Is there a tribe of Benjamin today? No. You're close. All right. What happened was the children of Israel went to fight against another nation. They killed everybody but 250 of the women. They took those 250 women and they took them to the Benjamite men. And that's how the tribe of Benjamin survived. Now, why was it God allowed one of his 12 tribes to be destroyed by the other 11? Because of sin. You know, God is a God of judgment. God does not like to see the sin of people. You know, if God destroyed them, why do we feel that we in our society, in this perverse lifestyle that we have, committing everything they think of, not going to judge us? Well, let me tell you something. One day, God is going to judge everyone. You know, those who feel that they can do everything that they want to do, those who feel that they are good and do good and they can get their own way to heaven, those who feel that they can buy their way to heaven, well, you know what? I have news for them. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." Whoa. We cannot get to heaven on our own merit. Period. We can't. None of us are good enough. None of us have enough money to buy our... Now, just wait a minute. You mean to tell me that the owner of Facebook does not have enough money to buy himself into heaven? What about Warren Buffett and all his billions of dollars? What about Donald Trump and his billions of dollars? You mean to tell me all these rich people can't buy their way to heaven? Man, you know, I got to think about that one day. I thought, can you imagine? Here's Warren Buffett. He dies, goes to heaven. And he has this great big trunk full of gold. $1 billion of gold. And he puts it down in front of God. And he says, "Here, I want to buy myself into heaven." And he opens up that trunk full of gold. And I can hear God's words right now. "Why did you bring pavement?" Amen? I mean, let's face it. God doesn't need pavement up there. He's got it all. You know, people don't understand. They cannot, anyway, get to heaven on their own. None of them can. But yet they feel they can. They think they can cheat God. They think they can take and go around His back. You know, we can't get to heaven on our own merit, but listen, people today feel that they can. But not only that, but He also tried to convince or convert them of their wrongdoings. You know, oh, what's a preacher's job? Secretary, okay. You know, isn't that what a preacher's job is? Is to take and try to convince people that they're doing wrong? You know, he is to preach the whole Word of God. He's to preach, let the Holy Spirit convict the hearts of those who he talks to. He needs to show them that they need to be saved in order to get to heaven. Show them that there are things that they're doing that are contrary to the Word of God is sin. That person needs to ask for forgiveness. And people need to change their lifestyle. I shouldn't tell this story, but anyway. I ran into a guy one day in Walmart. And I haven't seen this guy for probably 15 years. And he was pushing a grocery cart. And I said to him, hey, how you doing? And he turned around and he looked at me. He turned white as a ghost. I thought he saw a ghost. I really did. And I said, how you been? I said, I really missed you in church. I don't go to your church anymore. I said, yeah, I noticed that. You haven't been there for 15 years. I just happened to notice the other day that you weren't in church. I said, how come? Because, he says, you preach against things I want to do. I said, huh? He says, you preach against things that I want to do that are fun. I said, like what? And I looked down at his card. I go, uh-oh. He says, you preach against drinking. I said, yep. He said, well, I like to drink. I said, notice that. He said, well, he says, I like to smoke too. I said, yeah, I noticed that too. He says, you preach against everything I like to do. I said, do you know why? He said, why? I said, because it's sin. Dirty, rotten, unadulterated sin. I looked right at him when I said it. That's why I don't come to your church. I said, praise the Lord! You know, in verse 15, Enoch's message was against their ungodly deeds. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. Whoa. They're drinking. They're doing drugs. They're forgetting God and not going to church. They're adulterous affairs. They're living in cohabitation, living a form of religion, but not living for God. Their hard speeches are calloused talk. Talking of taking God's name in vain and not thinking before they talk. Do you know people like that today? Man. Telling dirty stories and not being ashamed of what they're saying. Talking about people behind their backs. Complaining about the things of God. They tried to make themselves sound so good when their actions spoke louder than their words. You know, people can talk a talk, but they have a problem walking the talk. You know, we need to realize this is we need to be able to take and walk our talk. Not only that, but man had not changed. He still looks at his own accomplishments instead of what God has done. Man still speaks badly towards God of creation. 7 generations after creation. Think about that. 7 generations. About 800 years is all. And people forgot God. Wow. That's unbelievable. Adam and Eve were still living. The two that were created at creation were still living. And yet people didn't want to look towards God. You know, how would you like to have been Adam and Eve? Sat there and said, hey, you know what? We weren't born, we were created. We were created. God created us out of the dust of the ground. He created us. These other people are going, yeah, sure, right. You know what I mean? I don't think they believed him. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, they should have done a belly button check. Amen. But you know, look at verse 15. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And it's not only coming to some, but it's going to be coming to all. And all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What we need to realize is that judgment is going to come one day very soon. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16 it says, and if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Whoa. We will be judged. Some of us are going to be judged at the Bema Seat judgment after the rapture of the church. We're going to be judged for the works that we did. Romans chapter 14, verses 9 to 12 says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge by thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. For then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Wow. One day we're going to stand for an almighty judge. And we're going to have to give an account of what we've done, whether it's good or whether it's bad, after we were saved. But you know, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, one day are also going to be judged. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 13, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Judgment is going to come to us just as it did to the people in Enoch's day. Now think about this. Enoch was taken. God took him out. What happened to all the rest of the people that were on the earth? They stayed. They were there yet. All of a sudden, two more generations came up, and guess who was born? Noah! And we all know what happened in Noah's generation. God judged the earth. Everyone except for Noah and his family were all drowned. Judgment is coming, and there's not one thing that we're going to do about it. Look at Noah. Noah preached for how long? 100 years. 100 years he preached while he's building that ark. 100 years he says, you got to repent, you got to repent, you got to repent, you got to repent. And nobody listened to him except his sons. Man. Yeah, I stand before you this morning preaching the same message some 8,000 years after Enoch. God's judgment is going to come. No one listened then. God destroyed the earth in Noah's day. One day, very soon, there's going to be a falling away. All Christians will be taken out of this world. And there's going to be judgment that's going to come by the hand of an almighty God. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. We need to turn from our wicked ways and look to God for our strength and our guidance. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus told Paul that he was to preach judgment, to show the people that they needed to turn to him for eternal life. Guess what? The message is the same today. 2,000 years, 2,000, almost 20 years after Paul lived, the message is the same today. This Sunday, September 16, 2018, it's the same today as it was in the days of Enoch, Noah, Elijah, Isaiah, in the days of Paul, and in the days of Jude. We need to turn from our wicked ways and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just as the days were before the flood, the people were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, not looking to the judgment of God, not believing that God would destroy this whole world. So it is today. People doing their own things, their own way, with no thought whatsoever for what the future is going to hold. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be looking for the coming of the Lord. We need to be working for Him. We need to be trying to win as many as we possibly can to the saving knowledge of Christ before it's too late. I talked to a guy the other day and he said, oh, I'm going to wait until the last minute. Then I'll take and get saved. I looked at him, I said, good luck. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I said, let me ask you something. How long is the twinkling of an eye? He said, I have no idea. It's 1/1,000th of a nanosecond. I said, how many words can you get out in 1/100th of a nanosecond? He said, none. I said, exactly. None. I said, can you imagine all of a sudden that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to hear a voice that says, come up hither, and boom, just like that, we're gone? And you're going to stand there. Look. Too late. Too late. People don't understand that. God's judgment is coming. God will say one day that he's had enough of the sin of man and will cause his judgment to be poured out upon this world. Then it's going to be too late to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, too late to ask for forgiveness, too late to be saved from an eternal life of pain and suffering in the lake of fire. If people would only listen to the preaching of Enoch, if they would have listened to the preaching of Noah, if they would have taken to heart the message that was given, there would have been more on that ark. When God poured out His judgment in the flood, there could have been many, many saved. I believe there was a lot of room on that ark yet. I really do. But just Noah and his family were saved. You know, you need today to listen to the preaching and take heed to the invitation, because the judgment is going to be coming just as it did in the day of Enoch and just as it did in the days of Noah. We need to turn from our sin, and we need to turn from our shame, and we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. You know, as I was thinking about this message and going over it, I got to thinking of the generations there were between Adam and Noah. And I thought of all the people there that had an opportunity to turn from their wicked ways and didn't, and were lost. It's the same way with us today. I look all over Florence. I look all over Coolidge. I look all over this whole Santan area. And I see all the people out here that are fumbling and bumbling through life, hoping that they can be good enough to get to heaven when there is only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the life of Enoch. We thank you for what kind of a righteous man he was, even though he lived in a time of adversity, even though he lived in a time when no one wanted to look to you, even though he looked at a time when people were doing their own thing, so to speak. Father, we have that time right now. We're in that time right now where people are doing the exact same thing. Father, I just pray now that you would speak to hearts today. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, that I would go to heaven. I heard the preaching of the judgment coming, and I'm not sure if I were to die right now, I would go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it down. Anyone at all? I'm not sure I'm saved, preacher. Anyone at all? Father, you know the hearts. I just pray, Lord, that you'd take and be with us, guide us, and direct us. Father, I pray that we wouldn't be like those in Enoch's time, but that we would heed the warning of the judgment coming. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us in the rest of this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's turn our hymnal number 157. I'm going to change that one.